Hi, I'm Bede Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another hour of Dementia Chat and music here on The D Word. My guest this week was recently voted Fundraiser of the Year. He's also an ambassador for Dementia UK, who has a liking for samosas and is a big fan of Wolves football team. Manny Singh Gang will be joining me right after this from the Twins of Franklin.
Glad we took the time.
The twins of Franklin, who in music tradition are not twins and aren't called Franklin. Nice song though, Look at All This Life. I first became aware of my guest this week when I read about his 200-mile walk from Wolves Molyneux Stadium to Newcastle United's St James Park to raise funds for Dementia UK. So I'm delighted that joining me on the show this week is Manny Singang. Well, Manny, it's great to welcome you to the D Word as my guest.
Thank you.
A lot to talk about. We'll try not to stray into the world of football too much. You know, as an Arsenal fan, then you know, I'm sure we'll have differing views. But you've been a massive charity fundraiser and a Dementia UK ambassador. I mean, tell us a little bit about that. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so probably the fundraising, volunteering stems from my faith. As you see, I'm a Sikh, and I follow the faith quite closely. And sharing is like a huge tenet of, pillar of our faith, but not just sharing, you know, in our sort of own circles around our own places of worship, but going out into the community. And the community can be anyone and everyone. So I got into fundraising, sort of organized fundraising, let's call it, like, you know, Just Giving, where I'm promoting what I'm doing, about 8-9 years ago. And then slowly I did Birmingham Children's Hospital and a few homeless charities. And I just read up about dementia just by chance, just read up about it. And in 2018, it killed more people than any other condition. And that's like, wow, you know, because we hear about cancer a lot. We hear about heart disease. We hear about, and obviously when COVID came, that's all we heard about. But then there was this killer that was happening almost behind the scenes. You never heard government particularly talk about it. You never heard any real major platforms, you know. Yes, there were charities about, and that's where my journey started. I saw what Dementia UK were doing, and because they offer help right here, right now, to those who live with that condition and the families that support, that's what attracted to me, because that's what our faith says, like, you know, the here and now, living in the present, trying to help your neighbour if you can. And that's where I got into it. And, you know, they sort of saw my fundraising and they asked me to, you know, become a volunteer ambassador. And I've been an ambassador with them for now, I think, coming up to 6 years. Just been a quite an emotional whirlwind, honestly, of lots of events and different methods and forms of fundraising, and to try and raise the awareness as much as we can.
Yeah, it's quite interesting your involvement, because, you know, mostly people that have been touched by dementia in some way with family or whatever, whereas, you know, you don't actually have a family connection, do you?
That's, you know what, obviously when we see people doing great things, you know, Kevin Sinfield, he's a hero of mine, you know, for what he does. That is right, that mostly sometimes a lot of people get inspired because a close loved one or a family member is going through the condition or they've lost. But for me, how I see it is this: if somebody's house is on fire, but your house is okay, do you just sit and think, oh, well, I'm okay. I'll wait till my house is on fire. Or do you think, oh, I can go out and help. I can call the services. I can try and help people that are in the area. Can I do something? So that's what I saw, you know, 1 million people. Every 3 minutes, somebody's getting this condition. And do we all sit around? So do we have to wait till we personally get affected? The only difference between my father and your father is the word my. There's a father that needs help. So if we can help them, then I think, I just think we, for me, I don't have a choice in that. That's no option. I'm a human being. And if I've got something that can help somebody else, then I shouldn't personally, I should not need a condition for that to happen. So that's why I try and encourage as many people as possible to get into volunteering, giving back, helping others. And yes, you know, I'm completely inspired by those who lift themselves from trauma, from tragedy to do this. But the rest of us, we can do it. We can help as well.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that is a great message. I guess you've learned a lot. And I guess if you learn a lot about how dementia is looked at by your own community, the Sikh community.
Yeah, you know, dementia, you know, the whole term dementia has always been a taboo subject in probably all communities, but particularly people of South Asian existence and the Caribbean, you know, Afro-Caribbean community have the same problem, same issues that some of the ambassadors who are from that community talk about, where, you know, when somebody gets old and they start forgetting things, that's just part of the process of being old and going through a diagnosis and going into, just because somebody's forgot a few things, doesn't, it's not seen as a condition. It's not recognized by a lot of communities as a condition, and actually trying to convince them that actually, you know, yes, we know there's not a cure. Yes, we know the person with the condition will probably die, but there's so much that can be done to help them in their latter years. There's so much that can be done to make it a little bit easier for the family as well, because it's a family trauma. It's not a trauma that affects one individual. It affects children. It affects siblings. It affects friends and companions and partners, you know. So, yeah, that's been a huge challenge, I think, you know. But I think Dementia UK are growing, and so Alzheimer's with some of their literature, some of the way they communicate, some of the way they approach, and it's opened their eyes. You know, Dementia UK itself was launched by an admiral in sort of, you know, South England, fairly white community dominated by one diaspora. Most of the admiral nurses that started the nursing journey we're from the same community, but now we see, you know, we have specialized nurses from different communities who, you know, language barrier can be a problem. Maybe they can explain things in a slightly different way. So yeah, it's been I think it's still there. I'm not gonna lie, it's still there. There's still a lack of people from Asian backgrounds and Afro-Caribbean backgrounds asking for help. So we do try and encourage, and hopefully, you know, me being from the Sikh faith, somebody sees me as a Dementia UK ambassador, that may encourage somebody to say, oh, what do you do? How can you help me? So, you know.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Alison Krauss and Union Station, a new favourite here on UK Health Radio, where we now have over 40 shows playing every week to a worldwide audience of 1.4 million. All the shows are available for listen again and download on the website at www.ukhealthradio.com, and they're also up in podcast format, available on all the major podcast platforms. My guest this week is fundraiser of the year, Mani Singh Gang. Actually, in your neck of the woods, Wolverhampton and Grand, we've got a friend there, the inclusion manager. I know she started she's starting a South Asian dementia cafe because there wasn't that kind of provision.
Brilliant.
And so, there are things, hopefully, things happening.
Yeah, I think, you know, we want to encourage more people to join the organisation to help, because that's where you get the education from. Me myself, since I've been an ambassador, I've learnt so much, you know, that I particularly wouldn't have learnt if I wasn't part of the organisation. So I encourage people, that's a brilliant initiative. I have heard of that, and there's other initiatives that people are launching to try and encourage, you know, people from different backgrounds, and sometimes you just need a friendly face, you know, somebody who might be struggling with the language, or nowhere to go, when they see a friendly face, they're more likely to come and approach you. So, you know, hopefully it's something that will grow and more people can be helped.
And with your fundraising, you need to catch the eye, don't you? I think in terms of there are so many people out there that are fundraising, so you need a bit of a quirky story. And I've got to say, you're the king of the quirky story when it comes to the fundraising.
You know what? There's a saying that we sort of have in our text that talks about insanity or madness. Not in the literal term, but actually living outside the box of the normality we're in, and the way of the world has become that if you see something unusual, it's going to attract people's attention. Now, as a Sikh, I've got this long beard and I wear a turban. When I'm going to the Wolves games, I've got a brightly coloured turban that's like standing out, and that's actually a feature of our faith, because this uniform was given to us to actually stand out in the community. 500 years ago, you know, we were seen as like the beacon in the community that people could approach if they needed help. And we had to have a recognizable aura about us. So this is where, you know, when I wore the same colours as the kit, I got a little bit of recognition. People started following me. And then it was, oh, what can we do then? We've got to try and attract the attention of as many people as possible. So, yeah, I started off with a bit of cycling. You know, I went to an away game at Liverpool and did a few 100-mile bike rides. And then the running started, a few half marathons. And, you know, I've done London Marathon now 4 times. But even then, you're thinking, oh, what else can we do? And then the walking started, you know, and the walking has become... I don't even like walking. I'm not going to lie. I'm not even a serial, but it just captured the people's imaginations. And that walk to London, especially for Chelsea away, there's lots of people who are doing walks, but I attempted it in just over 2 days, you know, and walking 60 miles on the first day to Banbury from Wolverhampton. It's just unthinkable. But yeah, it does attract more attention. And that's what it's about. You know, Dementia UK got their name on the walk to Newcastle that I did, Newcastle upon Tyne. I think Dementia UK had their name shared on social media more times than ever in its history. So, you know, that was people of stature, people of platform, people, news channels sharing that name, and even more than the money raised. That's really important, because that inspires others to also fundraise and also help or to get help from that charity. So that part of fundraising can never be measured. And that's a really important part for me, is like trying to inspire a generation of people to try and take up helping others, whatever the cause is, whatever the charity is.
Long blonde hair flying here.
Bella White, an unknown legend. Always great to hear from you with comments about the show. We're on social media, Facebook, X and Instagram, and the email is tdwradio@gmail.com. Do get in touch if you've got a story to tell and you'd like to be my guest one week here on the show, as right now we're putting together our autumn schedule. I'm chatting to Mani Singh Gang, ambassador for Dementia UK, but that only tells a small part of the story. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think I first saw you at a football match on the TV, and I suddenly looked and thought, who is that guy? And then I learned your story, and that's how we've met in terms of getting you on the radio show. So it certainly worked. I mean, talking of, you know, inspiring the other generation, I mean, your son's been involved with the walking as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, the whole family, it's a family network. So my son joined me for a walk, but I think the project, you call it, that we sort of launched a few years ago called Samosa Saturday is the one that really embodied community spirit. So we were sort of going to do a bucket collection before a game, but in our ethos, we don't really actually like asking for money, and it's down to the giver if they would like to give. So do something and let the giver give. Don't actually actively go out and say, please, can I have you know. So we came up with the samosa, you know, a delicious Indian Punjabi snack. And we thought we could serve samosas. And if anybody would like to donate, they could. And that has just took off. The whole family's involved in making them, you know, from nieces and aunties and, you know, my parents. Everybody gets involved for the whole week. We've now, you know, we've done 21 events over 6 years, I think it is, and, you know, over 50,000 samosas. It's become huge. Even in lockdown, we actually carried on with the rules that allowed us to do deliveries, and we had delivery drivers, you know, who were Wolves fans, who came to my house, collected their bags that were pre-packed by us and delivered to people who had pre-ordered all over the Midlands, like from Worcester to Stoke. And it became a huge community event. I think we've got about 20 volunteers who help us. Previously, I never knew any of them. And also lots and lots of children, really young children who've grown in the last 6 years. We've got a couple of girls, Emily and Chloe, with their father. They've been attending since day one. And they're in secondary school now, but they've carried on. And you can see the inspiration they've gained from it as well. So, you know, that embodied teamwork, community, people together, you know, people who normally may not speak to each other coming together for a great cause. And we've had like players, you know,
Wolves players and managers, staff, you know, celebrities like Wolverhampton, celebrities like Beverly Knight and Susie Perry order samosas off us. So it's become a real, you know, I'm sort of known as, you know, Samosa Manny, or, you know, many different names people give me. So yeah, that event on its own is just bewildering. I just sort of stand back and look at it now because there's so many people involved in it and so many people who help out. And that gives me more pride than even like the money we raise.
Yeah, and I think it's great also what you said about getting the younger generation involved, because, you know, they're involved in what you're doing, but also involved in the message as well. Yeah. And you carry that message forward.
Mm. Yeah, you know, if you look at young people, they're full of information. It's unbelievable. I go into a lot of schools. I've been in a little village called Alverley, which is between Bridge North and Kidderminster this morning, doing an assembly about volunteering and fundraising with young primary school children. And their eyes sort of light up. They're full of information. I think back in our day, Pete, we only knew a little bit and we gradually grew. But children have got so much information on their hands from, you know, technology these days. And we can use that in a real positive way. And it's been great to see some of the kids have gone on to do their own little fundraising for other, you know, charities. One of our little helpers is now doing a walk from his home in Cannock to Molyneux in August for, you know, the Wolves Foundation. So it just shows how that, you know, kids are a blank canvas, and if we give them the right messages and the right tools and give them a bit of love and encouragement, they can do great things at a young age, you know, and I think it's really, really important for them.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Back when we sat around drinking rent money like there was more coming. Three sheets to the wind, three chords for anyone who would listen. Swore that they were wrong if they didn't get it. Just trying to catch a big break, turning every heartache into a song. Staying up too late, wake up with a headache, hair of the dog, trying to belong. And all that mattered was trading new songs with my friend. If I knew now what I knew then, all we needed to celebrate was a Friday and some cheap champagne. And those were the days, cruising down Music Road, singing with the windows rolled down, dreaming that the radio was playing what's on my phone now. Just trying to catch a big break, turning every heartache into a song.
Taking turns driving from Nashville to Austin to rolling at dawn. Keep moving along, cause all that matters is breaking even to pay the bank. If I knew now what I knew then, back when we sat around saying we'd be something, yeah, we're still running. Just trying to catch a big break, turning every heartache into a song. Calling home too late to talk about the best day, cause I knew that mom was cheering me on. And if all that mattered was getting this far to start again, yeah, I'd do it again. If I knew now what I knew then.
Tyler Dylan, If I Knew Now What I Know Then, here on The D Word, where I'm chatting to Fundraiser of the Year, Mani Singh Gang. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you don't do it for the awards, but you were nominated for a Just Giving Award as well, which, you know, must be nice, because that's a recognition, isn't it, of all you've done.
Yeah, you know, I think the more than, I mean, yeah, it's recognition, but it recognises the charity as well. So, you know, Dementia UK in charity terms are quite small compared to Alzheimer's Society, compared to Cancer Research, compared to Macmillan. They're quite a small organisation that are growing quite fast. So when you get nominated for the award, it's like, you know, it's their name up in lights as well. It's their name that's going to appear on screens, that is going to be shared. Actually, a day before the general election, we're in London for the Institute of Fundraising Awards, and be nominated in the final three of that for Charity Fundraiser of the Year. And, you know, it's when you use the energy inside you positively, then all these things actually follow you. We don't particularly go after these things. If I turned my back on the energy inside me and went for these things, I probably would never, ever get anywhere near them, you know. But this is what happens, you know, when I did the walk to Newcastle, you know, I had a letter from the Prime Minister, a Points of Light Award. And again, I've never asked him to write to me, but he did. And a few weeks later, we were at Buckingham Palace for the garden party with King Charles. And again, I came up with a bit of a slogan, like, if you abandon the shadows and walk towards the sun, then even kings will write to you. And that's the kind of inspiration I try and give to the kids, is hard work, you know, determination, concentration, dedication, resilience, love, courage, kindness. All these qualities are contained within the human being. All your heroes, whether it's a footballer, an actor or a singer, would have had to have used all those qualities to an extreme level to get where they got. And then the awards and the accolades and the titles and the, you know, the houses and the cars and everything, those are the shadows that actually follow you if you focus on the energy. And that's all our job is, to get up every day and use what we've already got. I really believe the human being is actually a complete tool. It's got every accessory it requires, and we don't have to collect a lot. You know, if you've got a roof over your head, if you've got a bit of food on the table, and your health is okay, then we can get together and help those that haven't got a roof, haven't got food, and go through terminal illness. And you know, and it, I think the first person that benefits is ourselves. Our own being is at peace. We feel like we've got a bit of a worth, that we're making a contribution, and that gives you an internal pleasure and peace, which is bigger than any award. Yes, the awards come and it's great, and you know, we're humbled and honoured to be mentioned. But even then, it's really important to remain level-headed and just sort of think, you know, I'm only doing what is designed, the human being is designed to do. I think we're really good when we concentrate on helping others and using those qualities. And that's what I encourage
people. Just use them. Don't worry about the result. Don't worry about gaining anything. Just follow that sun, follow that energy. Keep using it every day, and it will bring really good, peaceful results into your life.
Well, you've been doing it superbly over the past few years. Obviously, we've had cycling, we've had walks, we've had London marathons, we've had thousands of smosers. I mean, the question you've got to ask is what you got planned next, Manny?
Well, we have already. It's been launched recently. So the walking will carry on. But one thing I got from a lot of fans of the football club and people and family was they would love to join me. And obviously, when I'm walking to Newcastle or London, it's not really a joinable event, very hard to organise. So I'm doing a walk. I'm walking again around Molineux Stadium continuously, just in one spot around the perimeter for 48 hours, no sleep, day and night. So it's like, you know, a crazy challenge. It's going to probably be the hardest because to walk for that amount of time without sleeping I've done 20 something hours before. So this is going to be, you know, a huge, huge challenge, but it'll give a chance for people to come and see me, and I can meet them and I can say thank you to them for the help they've given me. You know, people young and old can come just for a few minutes. You know, I've even had people who are in wheelchairs who've contacted me saying, we're coming, we want to go, we want to do a few laps with you. So that's, you know, that will give me more pleasure than anything, you know, that people will join in and feel like they played a part in an epic, obviously it's going to be quite epic. So that's on the 26th of September, finishing on the 28th, which coincides with the Liverpool home game. Crazy challenge, but I think it'll be quite a wholesome event, which will, I'm pretty sure I'll meet people that I've never met before. And that's what life's about. If the more we can connect, more we can sit down and talk and, you know, not make judgments by what we see, but actually go and sit down and talk to people and learn about them and find out, because you know what? Every single person just wants peace of mind, a bit of happiness, a bit of joy, and that's it. We're pretty simple, you know, species, really. And when we find that connection, then we can help each other, encourage each other, you know, and create a bit of unity. So hopefully that event will create a lot of unity.
Yeah, we will certainly be back in that and watch out for it. 48 hours, you need a lot of smosers to give you going for 48 hours, won't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've sort of said to the people, I said, I'm going to carry very limited. I'm going to rely on you guys to come and feed me and look after me. So, you know, yeah, it will need a little bit of energy, I'm sure. I mean, my family, for a start, my sisters, my mom, my dad, they're all so excited that they're going to be able to join me. So, you know, and then a lot of friends that have helped me since day one, you know, people who are quite elderly as well, they've all said, we're coming out, whatever it takes, we're going to come out, we're going to make sure we do our little bit. So, you know, and that's really, really important, because that will give, you know, that those little moments of what changes people's whole thought process from negative to positive, and gives them a little bit of hope. And you know, dark days and good days come to all. You know, even the King of England is the King of England, but you know, he still goes through illness, he still goes through family issues, he'll still have bouts of pain. So we're all in the same boat, but what we can do is have a way of retaining a balance through the highs and the lows, where we can still have a balance and still reflect on what we do have and how lucky we are. And we still have food. We still got a roof. Last time I checked, still got, you know, my health. I can still walk and talk. So it's not too bad after all. And then you look around the world and you don't have to go too far. Even in this country, you know, 3 million people used a food bank in 2021, I think it was. That's horrific for a country like us. So, you know, people are struggling out there, and we should rally together and do what we can.
Absolutely. 100% behind that. Time's running to a bit of a close. I said we wouldn't talk about football, but we'll have to talk a little bit. after our two teams meet on the first day of the season, what are your hopes for Wolves?
Well, I will actually be in India that weekend. I do a lot of stuff with my faith because that's where I get my teachings from. So I go back to India a lot to do a bit of volunteering there. Hopes for Wolves. I think last year we had no hope because of manager just joining us 3 days before the season, and we was all worried that this was going to be the end of our Premiership stay. But we stayed up very comfortably and we played really well, sort of petered out. We've already signed, I think, a couple of players very early. We're sort of not very happy as a fan base because the owners have put the season ticket prices up by an astonishing amount, you know, which isn't right, really, because football plays a huge part in people's lives. You know, it's always been a working class game, especially in cities like Wolverhampton. Wolverhampton is not a tourist hub of England. It's not like, you know, London or Manchester, where people might go and attract crowds, and you have to look after the local person. So hopes, I think I like Gary O'Neill. I hope the club sort of back him and give him encouragement, and the fans give him a bit of time. And I'm sort of a little bit excited secretly. I don't have too many expectations as like, you know, where we'll achieve anything, but I think we will stop up comfortably. Arsenal, it's got to be third time lucky now, isn't it? I mean, after the last two seasons.
Who knows? Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Well, Manny, it's been a joy. You are an inspiration. Please keep doing what you're doing. And thank you so much for being my guest.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for sharing the story.
Thanks to Manny, not only for the chat, but also for everything that he does to raise money and awareness. And if you can make it to the Wolverhampton area, do join him on his walk around Molyneux in September. That's it for another week. Thanks as always to my production assistant, Angela. We're taking a week off next week, so the next D Word will go out from Monday 19th of August, when my guest will be an old friend of the show, now chair of the European Working Group for People Living with Dementia, Kevin Quaid. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.